timeframe. She should have thought of that.
No, 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 that's absolutely 100% on.
Big meeting there, Mayor.
Yeah. Let's see here, participants. Don't have quite 6 o'clock yet. We'll wait just a minute. We'll see if Brendan pops on. He wanted to join us via Zoom.
Brendan is on.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well,
I'm here. Thank you, guys.
Welcome, Brendan. Okay. So I do have 6 o'clock. So we'll go ahead and start the meeting. My name is Julia Johnson, Mayor of Cedar-Woolley, and I call to order the City Council meeting September 8th, 2021, 6 p.m. Will you all stand with me to say the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I'll go through the roll call. Councilwoman Joellen Kesty.
Present.
Councilwoman Sarah Diamond.
Present.
Councilman Chuck Owen.
Present.
Councilman Kevin Loy.
Present.
Councilman Glenn Allen.
Present.
Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Present.
And Councilman Carl DeYoung. I saw him on here. I don't see him on. Is he on, Bill?
Carl.
No, Carl isn't on.
Okay. All right. So he may join us here in a bit. All right. The approval of the agenda. I am looking for a motion of the approval of the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. So I have a motion by Councilwoman Kesty, seconded by Councilman Loy. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Same sign?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? Okay. Motion carries. On to the consent agenda, items 1 through 5. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung.
Oh, thank you, Councilman DeYoung. Okay. Note for the record that Councilman DeYoung is in the meeting. Thank you, Councilman DeYoung. Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. So we have a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilman Allen. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Same sign. Okay. Motion carries. Moving on to staff reports. I'm going to begin with, I don't have my list here, so I'm going to begin with Finance Director Debbie Burton.
I wasn't ready.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
Good evening. No worries. Good evening. So we're in the finance department. Same story. We had just got our new people on board. So today we interviewed for our payroll position, as Teresa will be retiring from our office in the end of October. So we are hopefully going to get hired for that position so that person can train with Teresa for a little bit over a month. So we're looking forward to that. So after that, I think we should be stabilized in finance. And so I'm excited to work with the team and do some team building because, you know, there's lots of changes happening in finance. So good. And I will be presenting a financial report at our next meeting for you.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, I'm going to kind of go out of order here. So IT Director Bill Chambers.
I don't have much to report tonight, except that I'm looking forward to having Woody, our new IT specialist, on board on the 16th, and continuing just to set up tech for new hires and transitions and prep for the cemetery management software implementation. And that's about it from this end.
All right. Thank you. Police Chief Lynn Tucker.
Got it. Just a couple of things. Some of you may have seen a couple of our social media posts. We had kind of a weird weekend on Labor Day weekend. We had a burglar who ended up climbing up on the roof of one of the businesses downtown, causing a little bit of a problem. And I think it wasn't just us. There was a naked guy running around in Mount Vernon, too. So we shared the wealth of weirdness over the weekend. They also, officers also had to deal with a somewhat suicidal subject who ended up spitting on one of the officers, and she is COVID positive, not the officer. So we're having one of our officers regularly tested for COVID now until she gets kind of past the potentially infected phase. But there's just never, it's a never ending cycle of excitement at the police department. And then I guess the thing that's been taking up our mornings here this week is the beginning of school. So we've tried to make sure we're maintaining a presence at school, keeping traffic safe, and a bunch of new kids going in and out of the middle school and the high school and the grade schools. And we've been staffing up just being present during that. So been keeping us busy of a morning. And other than that, I have nothing else to offer.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Fire Chief Frank Wagner.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. From our end of the building over here, we have some exciting news. Hopefully tomorrow, myself and Assistant Chief Glenn Gardner will head down to Chehalis and hopefully pick up our new ambulance that we ordered back in November. If all works out like planned, we'll drive it home tomorrow evening. We're a little apprehensive because there's a couple parts that are supposed to come in the morning, last minute door stuff that they're supposed to install. Otherwise, we'll have it with us here in the house tomorrow evening. Won't be in service for a month or so until we get all the stuff ready for it interior. Other than that, we're dealing continuously with the COVID and the PPE needs of our folks and the increase in numbers with the new Delta variant and the mandatory vaccination coming around the corner here on October 18th and how that's going to affect us, not only in our department, but with some of the resources from the Washington State Patrol and DOT and the nursing homes and the hospitals and how that's going to affect our what we do as far as the ripple effects downstream. So, and other than that, after tomorrow evening, I will be on vacation. So I'm going to be on a cruise to Alaska. So Assistant Chief Jerry Gardner will be looking out for things while I'm gone. And other than that, a lot of pre-app plans with the building department. So growth is good and exciting around here. And thank you to all.
All right. Thank you, Frank. And happy trails. Enjoy your vacation. Public Works Director Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council and guests. Just a couple of things tonight. We did get the Public Works and Public Works Wastewater Treatment Plant Building Project contract executed. The next step in that project is to schedule a pre-con, which should be sometime in the next 2 weeks. I'm anticipating a work start on October the 4th. Other than that, the pavement preservation projects that Nathan and his crew have been working on are pretty well complete for the year. The slurry seals on Earth Way and F&S and the chip seals, those kind of things are pretty well done. They should be wrapping up the last of the sidewalk pours in the next couple of days around town on Eastern and on Township Street, and we'll be moving into the overlay next part of the project. I don't have a date on that yet, but we will put that information out to the public when we have that from the contractor. Beyond that, we're working on design projects, and you'll be seeing a little later tonight our request for federal funds obligation submittal documents for the Township Highway 20 intersection. And that's all for me, Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And our Building and Permits Director, John Coleman, is on vacation, so we will move on to City Attorney Nikki Thompson.
I don't have anything of interest to the group this evening.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. And City Administrator Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I don't know if you can hear me at this his microphone.
There we go.
Okay,
that's good.
Great. So I just have a couple items. The first is the library project. As you've seen, we've got that open now, and we have our customers coming in. It seems like a really great facility. We did open that a couple of weeks ago. Although our work isn't all quite done yet, we did receive all of our closing documents now from Valdez Construction. There are a lot of things from Labor and Industries and things that we have to sign off on before we can release our final payment. We've been holding 5% of that construction cost until the end of the project, till the punch list is done. So we have the punch list done. The different clearing documents have come in. So I'll be bringing that back to you at the next council meeting for council approving the closure on that project. So after how many years of work and getting through the pandemic and everything with the capital project, we're actually finally getting there. On the labor side of things right now, you'll see continued applications for our building inspector position. We haven't been able to even get an applicant to apply yet, which is really odd, just going on with what's in the industry right now. So we'll continue doing that. John will be back next week. He's at a planners conference this week, and we'll be putting together maybe a new approach to that. We have a couple ideas on maybe getting that position filled. And then the last item I have, with the public works building that we're doing in the lab ops, comes down to financing. How are we going to fund that project? If you remember at the library, we went out to bid on getting bond funding for that, and that worked out pretty well. This time we're doing another creative approach. We're working with the state treasurer's office. They have a program called the Local Program. And you can actually do a bond issue with them. What they will do is act as the primary issuer and get a number of cities together where we combine all our projects and do one bond issue. That way we get a good competitive rate and we're sharing in the bond issue cost. So it actually comes out cheaper for us to do it that way. We just turned in all the documents yesterday. I think there were about 300 pages of documents Mark and I had pulled together for that. So that's proceeding to the next spot. We'll probably be issuing bonds sometime in October for that. And you'll see Mark starting that project when he gives an update on that, probably shortly right after that. So we're moving ahead on that. And that'll be a project I think everybody, especially down at Public Works, has been waiting for us to start that one. So that's it.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure, Kevin.
You were talking about the library. Mm-hmm. Where do you what's the plans for the old library?
We still have some options we're looking. I know the mayor and I have talked about that. We have had a couple of different nonprofits call us and ask if that's available to use. So we're going to have to make a decision on that. There are some things about the building, some cleanup and some things we have to do in there that we'll have to get through first, and maybe that building will be available.
First, I have the commitment with the YMCA.
Right.
So actually, when I came on 4 years ago, so did Dean Snyder, for the YMCA, director of the YMCA, and he asked if there was anything he could do for Cedar Woolley, and I said, yeah, we'd love to have a rec center here. So that was the plan, so that's what we've been talking about. But Mr. Merriman is absolutely right. We've had a lot of other people who've approached us regarding the building, so we do have options, but we do have to get it in shape first. Mm-hmm. Lots of dry rot going on there right now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because one thing I heard, being an outsider, is tearing it down, and that'd be the worst thing you could do.
No, there's no plans to do that.
Thank you.
Sure. You bet.
Okay, moving on to council reports. Councilman Loy.
I just got one thing. I was talking with Nathan, and he was concerned about the skateboard competition living on. And I told you guys in May, and I'll tell you again, I'll make sure that gets going again before I bail out. And I'll work with Nathan and Julia and everybody, and so it's one of the best ones in Washington, so I will not leave you high and dry. I'll make sure that's going.
That's fantastic, Kevin. Thank you. Yeah, you've always done great work within the community. Thank you. Councilman Owen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't have a whole lot, but it was a pleasure to meet with the new prospective administrator. I was glad to see that I didn't have to look up to him because he's about my height. So, Doug, you had to look up to, but he seems like a mighty nice person, and I'm looking forward to being able to work with him. And hopefully Doug will stick around for a while. So I won't have nobody to heckle. I don't know where I can put this Reverend tag on a new one or not. He might not like that, but I'll work on it. And another thing was the skate park. You know, I rode by there tonight, and there's some pretty rough characters that hang out there. I don't know the answer to that, but I was thinking, well, maybe they could put a fence and have hours, you know, when it's open, and lock everybody out after hours. So, I don't know. That's just my way of thinking, and I know they're going to have to do something to stop the graffiti and stuff. So I hope Nathan gets on that and we'll work out something. And again, I thank you, and I send my condolences to the new administrator. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chuck. Councilwoman Diamond.
Good evening. I don't have a whole lot. I will say that I have had a couple complaints about the skate park, only because people have tried to drive by. Kids have been literally holding hands and spinning each other around in circles in the middle of the road. It's usually after hours when it gets darker, those sorts of things. And I don't know the solution to any of that, simply because, I mean, the police department is right there. The fire department is right there. You know, I don't know how many times they've probably already go back there and just, you know, nicely try to let the teenagers know that it's probably not safe behavior. You know, and I personally have had kids run out into the middle of the road as I'm trying to drive by, hiding behind cars and pushing each other. Again, not safe, and the issues were addressed. But so that is something that is going on. But I think it's not anything that people aren't already aware of. And then the only other thing that I have tonight is that I am constantly addressed, and I talked a little bit to Mr. Merriman about that tonight or earlier today, was I'm being addressed a lot by constituents and other people in the city about the mandates coming through. And I have urged them, if they feel strongly about something, to come in to city council, whether it be here in person or via Zoom, because they're coming and they're worried for the possibility of losing their jobs, their livelihoods, whether, you know, based on whether they choose to be vaccinated or not. And because they're seeing it come down in different areas with friends and family members that it's currently affecting. So I just, so everybody's aware, I have encouraged those people to feel free to come and speak as they can freely for their time, and if they felt that strongly, to by all means come by. But it's my understanding that there is no mandate coming from the city at this point in time, and I've advised them that that was where I was coming from and where what I am aware of. But again, urge them to come in and speak, and as they have the right to do.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Councilwoman Kesty.
Okay. On August 26th, I attended and spoke at the Hold the Line, Stop the Vaccination mandate in support of everyone's right to medical freedom, including our firefighters, our nurses, and school district employees. We're vaccinated, unvaccinated, mass, unmasked people coming together to support one another. It was an emotional night with heartfelt speeches by firefighters and a school district employee. It was not about anti-vaccination or anti-mask or if COVID is real, because it's very real. It was about supporting people's right to choose what's right for them and not force them to do something in order to keep their jobs. It was grossly miscovered in the Skagit Valley Herald with my rear end on the cover of the paper. The Herald missed the mark on their reporting, and I'm very proud of the people who put it together, the people who spoke, and the people who came to show their support. So I just wanted to clear that up.
Thank you, Joellen.
You say I'm shocked the Herald got something wrong.
Councilman McGoffin.
Rearview mirror.
Appreciate being able to do the remote call on visiting my helped with the meeting for the library. I thought it put on and attended. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brendan. Councilman Allen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I got to get the mask back on. I'm like a boomerang. I'm coming around again. I think, and I talked to Dr. Merriman today, and I've talked to you several times about it and brought it to the council. I think this is something we need to discuss, our council wages. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, maybe it's changed, but once an election goes, you cannot vote for a raise yourself. And we're down to three meetings after tonight. And you might want to talk to our lawyer, and maybe she could expound a little bit more on that. But I think it would be something to throw out to the council so they could talk about it and see what kind of blowback comes back from the community. If nothing comes back, then maybe the community's in support of it.
Yeah.
But a little background, if Doug can come through and say, you know, how long it's been since a raise came through, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe comparisons like Linden, Arlington, Burlington, Anacortes, Mount Vernon, Burlington. So anyway, I'll get off it, but I think it maybe check with Nikki, but it might have to be expedited. Otherwise, four of the members of this council are going to be stuck with the same wages for four more years.
It hasn't been overlooked, Glenn. It hasn't. In fact, we've had several conversations regarding it, and we're moving on it. It will be before you.
Okay, well, it should be. Yeah. The election's November 2nd, so.
I think it's after it's certified, which is usually a couple weeks after that. Well, but I don't think that that's going to be an issue. I don't. So, and well, this is something that I actually brought up at a retreat. I want to see it happen. It's not
okay.
Like,
yeah. And you know, we don't have to wait till the 12th hour.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. The 11th hour is enough drama.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Glenn. Councilman DeYoung.
Good evening. What a wonderful summer day. I just wanted to acknowledge the new, if you will, food library that has been installed at Memorial Park by the old library. What a great idea to take what you need and put what you can give. A lot of folks out on the water because the pinks, the silvers, and the kings are running, so be careful on the water. And wanted to thank Chief Tucker for getting the radar car out in areas of the 6th Ward. Yes, thank you. And also with some of your other emphasis patrols. And of course, thank you very much for inviting me and letting me participate hands-on with the shoot-no-shoot simulation video in the trailer there. And I'll let you report on that performance. But very insightful, and I'm very glad we have our law enforcement folks on the job. What amazing quick thought processes you have to go through with life-saving decisions. So thank you for that, Chief. And that is the report.
All right. Thank you, Carl. I only have a few items tonight. I'm glad that Mr. DeYoung brought up the food library. That is the Leadership Skagit Group from 2019 was working on and putting together. So they've actually been working with me here at City Hall to get that done. And I want to thank Nathan and his crew for actually installing it. It was It's a beautiful piece of furniture, actually, or beautiful design. And it was quite heavy, but he and his crew put it into place. So, yeah, I thank you for that. Also, the governor's mandates, there's nothing, it's just to put your mind at ease, there's nothing here by the city who we're not going to mandate anything here at this point. So, in fact, we've been working with our attorney, and I actually have been in touch with the Freedom Foundation, and we've been talking with other people regarding what are our options for our first responders and also for what might be coming down the line. So, appreciate the support and appreciate the input that you are giving. So, still want to encourage everybody, though, that if they feel it's important to obtain a vaccine, please do so. And all of the Walgreens, Rite Aid, out at the hospital, you can get your shots out there. And they do offer both the Pfizer, Moderna, and also the Johnson & Johnson. So certainly want to make sure that everybody knows that that is available. One last thing, the trails. Skagit Trails are having a building session up at Northern State this Saturday on the 11th. And they said check their blog for times, and they hope to see you out there. And if while you're there at their blog, you need to check out some of the pictures that they have and some of the trails that they put together. It's really amazing. And, you know, it just adds to the richness of our community here. So a huge thanks to Jim Taylor and the trail builders and all that they are doing. Okay, moving on to public comments. It is 6:25. I'm going to open it up to public comment, and please state your name, your address, and keep it to 3 minutes. Do we have anybody for public comment? Yes, Joe, I see you. Joe Kunstler?
Thank you. And thanks for having me this evening. I'm sorry I have to Zoom this in. I was going to come in person, but I have a second public comment period I have to take care of in my transit advocacy this evening. So I'm trying to balance the two. So thank goodness for Zoom, and your IT staff's doing a great job just facilitating these online meetings. They're a real blessing. One of the few rays of sunshine in this horrible pandemic. I am speaking today asking that everyone get vaccinated, please. I just listened to the county commissioner's briefing today. Both our hospitals are at no diversity, all three of our Skagit County hospitals, counting Island on Anacortes, they are on no divert because the last time they went to divert was last week, and both of them went to divert at the same time, both Skagit and United General. We are out of hospital space, and it is extremely important that everyone get vaccinated. If instead of mandates, if, you know, that, you know, I understand if some are upset and concerned. Frankly, I see a civil liberties issue in some of that. But I think everyone has a right not to catch this virus. I think one of the things that should be looked at as far as mandates is restaurants should be able to say, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come in, take your mask off, and dine. I think that's perfectly reasonable. That said, when it comes to employment, I have a simple suggestion. Why not a performance bonus for those that vaccinate, or an extra $100 or $200 bucks? I'll try that approach first. Try a rhetorical carrot instead of a stick-first approach. That said, couple of thoughts, and hopefully I'll have time for both of them. I think it's time that our mayor and our city council showed some political leadership and told our community straight up, our hospitals are at capacity because of the unvaccinated. I am begging my senior parents every single day, please do not do anything strenuous. Please do not get on ladders. Please do not do, you know, I worry about what's going to happen if and likely when we go into crisis standards of care, how that's going to be allocated. Already in other places, cancer patients are being kicked out of the hospitals. My mother had breast cancer not once, but twice. So this is a real scary time. And when we see council members, and I don't want to make this personal, but when we see council members go down to rallies and we see signs in the paper calling it a myth, well, then that is the equivalent of, quite frankly, calling the local Navy base and telling them to fly a beautiful white SAR helicopter with the American flag over my house to get my attention and do something. I got vaccinated months ago because I didn't want to mess around with this virus. And it is, and I am asking the political leadership of this community to please level with this community how bad it's getting in the hospitals, to level with this community that there's nothing more scarier than scared people. But so what we need to do is we need to just say, if you're vaccinated, thank you. If you're not vaccinated, here's where to get your vaccines. Let's keep everybody out of the hospitals. Instead of Governor Inslee in dad mode, whamming his finger down with more of these mandates and more of this stuff, let's find a positive alternative for this community where people get vaccinated and we keep the community events. We can gather this winter and travel safely and not have to worry about this virus and come together and heal. The only way we're going to do that is through vaccination. And that's not Joe, the transit geek, saying it. It's the doctors and the public health heroes who are saying it. And those are the people that really should be, listened to right now.
Okay. Joe, do you want to wrap it up real quick, like?
Yeah, sure. One last thing. I knew Councilmember Christie from high school, really nice person, really good human being. I really didn't appreciate the comment about the rearview mirror I heard. And I really, I think it's a sad realization that Councilmember Christie is finding what I found years ago, that we have a Scandal Valley Herald that likes to overdramatize things. I wish her all the best and just really hope that one more time, I am asking this community, these leaders, please tell everyone to get vaccinated and where the vaccines are to save our hospitals, save our Skagit, save our small businesses. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joe. Okay. Anyone else? I'm looking on Zoom. I don't see anyone else. Anybody in the audience? Okay. It is 6:31, and I am going to close public comment, and we will move on to new business. The first thing up tonight is a first read is Resolution 1075-21, Adoption of the Public Defense Standards.
I'll go ahead and take this one real quick. This is just for first read tonight, just to introduce this to you. Just a quick background on this. Back in
I cannot hear Doug.
Can you hear this, Carl?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. In 2012, there was a lawsuit. It was Wilbur versus Mount Vernon, and it was about public defense standards. And what came out of that court case was it was determined that the city was not giving adequate defense to its indigent customers that they had. Yeah. So the Washington State Supreme Court passed a ruling that said there's a new set of standards that cities must adopt for public defense. And they address a number of different things as far as the training of your public defenders, how much time they can spend on cases. The key thing behind it was making sure that defendants had adequate defense from our public defense office. The city of Sedgwick-Woolley has yet to adopt those standards, so that would be something that I would recommend. We have an ordinance 1075-21 that's proposed, and we'll bring that forward at the next council meeting. I'll talk a little bit about what it all means and what that ordinance will do for us. So for tonight, it's just introduction, so you get a heads up on it, and then we'll talk about that again next time.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Do you just want to stay there, Doug? Because I see the next one is for you. We have confirmation of appointment of Charlie P. Bush to the position of city administrator with the authorization for the mayor to negotiate and sign an employment agreement. And Charlie, I want to thank you for coming here tonight, being here, meeting the staff, meeting the council members coming from SQUIM, and looking forward to hearing more from you. So go ahead, Doug. Thank you.
Sure. And I would say it is my pleasure to introduce Charlie tonight. Charlie, I did include his resume and some materials in your council packets for you to look at. Charlie has at least 23 years experience in city government, and we did the math, came up with about 18 years experience in similar positions as the one here at Cedar Woolley. He did work for the cities of Issaquah, Prosser, and Sequim. I know we've all been talking about Prosser and Sequim, meaning he's coming from cities that are similar to Cedar Woolley. And he's very well versed in the issues and things that cities this size have. I did some background checks on Charlie. We have crossed paths, even though we hadn't really spoken much before. We've served on similar boards and things in the past. And to a person, I spoke to four different city managers who have worked with Charlie on some board or some position in the past and got nothing but glowing remarks. I think the main question that was asked, how in the world did you get him so quickly? So we feel pretty fortunate that Charlie's interested here and looking at doing a contract with him. So the plan is, if approved tonight, we're looking at Charlie having a start date that's in the agreement, and it would give us a good month or so to overlap with each other so I can hand off projects and different things so we can all hit the ground running. So I will just leave it at that, and I would like to introduce Charlie Bush to the community, and he can come up and answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, and I would just thank you, Doug, for all the kind words, and thank you, Mayor Johnson, for this opportunity. Thank you, Council, as well, for your consideration. I'm delighted to be here. Look forward to the opportunity to serve this community, and I'm happy to answer any questions and be of further assistance to you.
Charlie, I never hire anyone unless I can see their face.
I have a face.
Thank you.
Are there any questions by the council? I know you had opportunity to ask several questions of him earlier.
Is George Bush your uncle, George W.?
Years ago, I would have told you there's no relation at all, but I did some family history, and there's actually a relation. It goes back to, I think, 1633, where we have the same ancestor who came across from England, and then the family split in various branches. So technically, I'm related, but it's pretty distant.
So Carl or Brendan, any questions? I'm not missing you, am I?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So, okay here.
Okay. So maybe just a couple things, Charlie. Got something that I heard that was brought up a couple different times, and maybe this might be of interest to the public. So people want to know, are you going to be moving to this area, or what are your plans at this point?
Yeah, I currently reside in the Sequim area, and that would be a very long commute. I'm absolutely moving over here. Our goal is to live in the community of Cedar Woolley. That's our focus right now. We can't. We'll live as close as we possibly can to the area. It's a tight labor housing market, so we're working our way through that. But we're very excited to look for housing here.
Okay. And something else that I know about you that maybe somebody else doesn't know is you really appreciate the amenities that we have here. So you're a hiker and biker, and I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been hiking for my whole pretty much adult life. Absolutely love hiking. Started down in Arizona, and then I've been in Washington for over 18 years. I've hiked all over, but the North Cascades is definitely my favorite area to hike. And I haven't been able to spend as much time up here because I've been in other locations. So very excited to be here for that. I cycle as well 3 to 4 times a week, and excited about the Cascade Trail and some of the other opportunities here. We have family. My wife has family in Canada as well. So this is a great location close to that. But most importantly, I'm really excited about this community and the challenges I see before you and the opportunities. And that's what attracted me here. I just want to be a part of working with all of you to try to make a better future for this community.
Charlie, what are your degrees in?
Yeah, I have a master's degree in public administration from Syracuse University, the Maxwell School, top-ranked program in the country. And I also have a Bachelor of Arts degree in political science from Wittenberg University. It's a small liberal arts college in Ohio. And then I've done a couple of other programs that were professional development programs, one at the University of Virginia and one at the Harvard Kennedy School. Each of those were 2 to 3 weeks.
You've been around.
I've had great opportunities. I feel very, very grateful for the career I've had so far.
What's your wife and kids think about coming here?
Yeah, I don't have any kids, but my wife is excited. She went to Western for graduate school. It's her family that's up in Canada, and we love Western Washington, and being out on the peninsula has been great. We've enjoyed that experience, but we're definitely excited to get back into the I-5 corridor.
Where in Canada is she from?
She was born in Vancouver. Yeah, so her parents are at the University of British Columbia. They both work there, and she's got a brother up there as well.
So, Charlie, I know you're very accomplished. I had the opportunity to visit with you. What would we visit? 2.5 hours. It was absolutely amazing. Perhaps maybe you'd like to share what are some of your proudest achievements, those achievements that you like to speak of.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to share. Well, in SQUIM, there were a number. I was there for 5.5 years as city manager most recently. We developed the SQUIM Health and Housing Collaborative, which is a six-agency partnership focused on the 5 areas identified in the countywide health assessment as the biggest needs for SQUIM. What we did is took money that was previously allocated to individual agencies, and we designed a process, we went through a design thinking exercise with 30 agencies, really focused on our community because we didn't get enough direct attention focused on SQUIM. We were between 2 county seats, Port Townsend and Port Angeles. And so we did this big focused exercise. We ended up doing a request for proposals around some of the models for service delivery that we developed in that exercise. Then the agencies actually applied to provide those services, and the city helped fund those services. That was really successful. SQUIM's going to receive an International City County Management Association Award in 2021 for community partnerships for that effort. So that's one big thing that we were able to do. Going back to my Prosser days, I had a chance to work with Ron McHenry, who's the executive director here in Skagit County, when he was a branch director, if you will, for a club. And he and I helped start the Prosser Boys and Girls Club. We worked very hard on that. That club was actually a transition from the city's parks and recreation effort, which was very seasonal and pretty fledgling. We had a vacancy. We had one staff member who left, and we had money that we contracted with the Boys and Girls Club. Then did additional fundraising, solved a bunch of challenges and hurdles we had to get over. Then we got a club open, and now that community has a Boys and Girls Club that serves 90 kids per day. So those are a couple. We did the First Street Project in SQUIM, which is a huge, about 1/3 of a mile complete street reconstruction. Underground utilities took a street that pavement management index, which is a 0 to 100 scale, was below a 20. It was in really bad shape. Once they get below, I think 40 or 50, it's time to completely reconstruct the street. So the city let it go for a while, but had to reconstruct it. And it took 9 different funding sources to get that project done. That was a $6 million project that was completed in 2020. Right next to some schools, right next to the Boys and Girls Club there. So those are a few of them. I mean, there are a number. I mean, if you work 22 years, you get to do a lot of really cool things. And I'm very grateful for all those opportunities.
Very strong in economic development, which I found very exciting because that's something that's greatly needed and desired, and we're pushing forward with that here in Sejawali. So very excited about having you here, Charlie.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
All right. So are there any other questions? Any questions for Doug? Okay. If not, we are looking for what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to blank. So we would like to have a vote on this tonight. So is there anybody who's willing to make a motion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes. Carl DeYoung.
Council Member DeYoung, I move the acceptance of hiring Charlie Bush
to City
Administrator.
You move. Council Member Goffin, next.
Thank you. So we have Councilman DeYoung, a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilman Goffin, to approve the hiring of Charlie P. Bush to the position of City Administrator. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. All right. Welcome, Charlie. Good to have you on board. Thank you, Doug. Thank you for the work on this.
Give us a smile, Charlie. All
right. It's going to look like the Cheshire Cat.
Okay, and then the last item tonight will be the federal funds obligation request for SR20 and SR9, Township Intersection Improvements. And Mr. Freiberger, I believe this is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. So tonight is the result of a couple of years of work on putting together the project at the intersection of SR20 and SR9 Township. We've completed the design and we've submitted the plans for review by DOT, and we're basically ready now to request federal phase funds obligation. What this does is it gives us the ability then to publish the project for advertisement and to bid the project, and this will provide the federal part of the funding for this. We have two motions on the proposal tonight. The first is to increase funding on for the project on the local side from the previous amount to $315,819. The reason for the increase is we, in the interim between the funds originally being granted in 2018 till now, we've had inflation, and but the main story, of course, is COVID. It's had a significant impact on construction materials in general, a lesser impact on labor costs, but significant on this. And it's resulted in quite a little bit of creep on the estimate on the project. The second motion will actually authorize the mayor to sign the local agency agreement supplement and the updated prospectus documents that will we will then package with required attaching documents required by DOT and submit to the Department of Transportation for funds obligation. So I just wanted to let you know, I have it on the top of the agenda. We do request action this evening. And so it's important for us to move forward. And the reason for that is the timing. We are expecting about a 6 to 10 month lead time on the signal poles. We have to buy 4 new poles for this intersection. And that's a significant amount of time. And we're actually banking on them coming in at the shorter end of that so that we can construct this in 2022. If it's closer to the 10 month, it's going to be questionable whether we can do that. And so in order to give us the chance of getting the job built in 2022, we need to get the federal funds obligated now. That takes about 4 weeks for DOT to process that. So with that 4 week period, we would be ready with their approval to advertise for bids and go to bid in October and close the bids on October 28th, hopefully award the project on November the 10th of this year and get a contract executed by the end of the year. And then they can submit for the materials that go into the project and order them yet this year, hopefully. And then we'll have to just wait it out until the poles are actually ready, and then we'll have a notice to proceed for the work to, or actually to resume. We'll issue a notice to proceed after award, and then we'll suspend that work until the signal poles are ready and on site, and then we will have a resumption of work and construct the work in a 45 calendar day period of time, hopefully in July and August and September of 2022. So I just want to reiterate on this project as far as the funding. The request, the increase in funding on this is actually $204,000 from the previously committed level. And we have cranked that into the arterial project listing document that Doug and I keep that basically is a combination of the funds available from the 4 sources that we use for arterial projects. And we project that out with the other project requirements that we have ongoing or are anticipated over a 3-year period to make sure that we have adequate funding to fund the projects. And we do have adequate funds on the project listing to allow this project to go forward, maintaining a combined ending fund balance for this and the other projects we anticipate through 2023 of about $330,000. So it looks pretty good in that realm. This project is actually going to be constructing mostly in 2022, so that most of the expense will not occur until that budget year. So that's kind of the long and short of it. If I can answer any questions about it, I will, and I would request your action this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions for Mark?
I just was trying to understand the raise in the price. So now the cost to the local contribution is $315,000 now?
Yeah, that's covered on page 2 of the memorandum. I have in the fiscal impacts section of the memo a summary of the various costs that go in here. Under the funding proposed, the original grant amount was $716,220. The original committed match amount was 13.5% of that at a $111,780. The revised contract estimate at this point, including the construction contract that we'll be bidding, plus the engineering cost, is $1,032,039. And the difference in that is the $204,039 that I mentioned that we need to increase our local funding for. The expenditures match that, and they're shown in the second part of that, the design phase. Those costs have gone up somewhat, as I mentioned in the memorandum. That is also due to some scope creep that we've encountered as we've gone through the design process. Not unusual to have that happen. We had to obligate a small right-of-way phase to buy a temporary construction easement from the ARCO dealership at that intersection. And then the construction engineering estimate and the construction cost estimate itself. And I say about these numbers, and I did mention it in the memorandum, that once we bid the project, we'll come back to you with the actual construction costs updated at award or the proposed award. So you get another look at this before the work actually proceeds. I'm sure the numbers will change somewhat, but this is our best estimate of the cost of the project for this obligation stage. So did I adequately answer your questions,
Councilmember? Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, if not, Mr. Freiberger is looking for action on these two issues. The first is council approval to commit of the $315,819,000 in local funding to match for the STPUS federal fund grant for the SR9 Township and John Liner McGargyle intersection project. Do we have a motion?
I'd be glad to make that motion.
All right. Thank you, Councilman Loy.
I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Councilwoman Kesty. So we have a motion by Councilman Loy, seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. And of course, the second issue is authorizing the mayor to sign the attached local agency supplemental and updated perspective of the SR20 SR9 Township Intersection Improvement Project in the amount of $1,032,039.
Madam Mayor, I will make that motion.
Right, thank Madam you, Mayor, I'll second that.
All right, thank you, Councilwoman Diamond. So we have a motion by Councilman Allen and seconded by Councilwoman Diamond. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
And I'll have the...
Go ahead. Mr. Freiberger?
Sorry. I'll have those documents ready for your signature after the meeting this evening.
All right.
That's action.
Okay, so...
Hot off the press. Yeah.
Well, this has been a short meeting. It is currently 6:53, and if there's nothing for the good of the order, then, ladies and gentlemen, we are adjourned. Thank you, and welcome, Charlie Bush.